It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
You are listening to the Coaching Ignited Show, where we bring you stories and insights from coaches, fitness professionals, and industry experts to help you expand your business and reach your goals. If you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. My name is Alex Povey. You can subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite apps, including Spotify and iTunes. The Coaching Ignited movement is on a mission to help coaches and personal trainers increase their sales and reach their full potential. If you wanted to find out more, please head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted to connect with us on social media, all the details can be found in the show notes. Now let's get into today's show.
So on this episode of the podcast, we've got the very cool Robin Lee, and really excited for you to listen to this show because I absolutely loved recording this one. It's very difficult to not get drawn into Robin and her stories and the way she kind of spreads her messages. And on this show, we really dive into some cool topics. But just to give you a backstory, Robin is the founder of Freedom Nutrition. So she's a health and nutritional coach. She's also an author of How to Not Go Crazy on the Daily, which you can find on Amazon. And she's been traveling the world recently and networking with loads of cool people. She's about to set up some retreats over in Bali. And she's also got her own podcast as well called Positively Selfish. And on this show, we get into lots of different topics, including email marketing, the power of Facebook Lives, how to really look after your client base in a Facebook group and deliver masses of value, and loads of other little topics that are going to be applicable and strategies that you can use as a coach, whether you're offline or whether you're online, right? All this stuff applies. And there's lots of little nuggets and nuances within this show, so I cannot wait for you to get stuck in. As always, let me know your feedback. It's always nice to get the messages off the back of these shows. And I want you to sit back, relax, and I'll see you on the other side. Okay, cool. So we should be live, and this is take two.
Yes.
Because I messed up the settings on the first one, which is good because we tested the waters. But thanks for coming again, Robin. Really appreciate it.
No props. Anytime. Well, maybe not anytime. Let's hope this is.
Hopefully, we don't have to do a third.
This works, yeah.
Hopefully, it's not a third take. But let's start by just going back to how you started your company. How did you get into what you're doing now?
Okay, so it all started for me when I used to be a ballroom and Latin American dancer, and I essentially danced, you know, let's say anywhere between 3 and 5 hours a day. That was kind of my form of exercise. Then I went to uni and, you know, had so much free time, and that's what I did. Then after uni, I got a very intense job as an area manager for Aldi, and some of you might know that that is, you know, notoriously a very intense, very long hours, kind of you sell your soul kind of job. And then I stopped dancing. So I essentially put on loads of weight because I was just working all the time, wasn't doing any exercise, was just eating to stay awake. And then realized after probably about a year, I had put on like probably almost like 15 kilos. And then I decided this is unacceptable, need to do something about this. I wasn't in any way into fitness or nutrition or anything. So I got a PT once a week and then realized this isn't going to do much either. And then I started learning more through listening to podcasts about nutrition. And one thing led to another. I was really into Ben Coomber's podcast, listened to him, just consumed everything that he put out there, then went on one of his retreats, then did his course, and that's where I trained. And then it was more just to get to know more about myself and to sort out my own nutrition. By this point also, I'd lost like 12 kilos, so it was kind of in a really good place in terms of my own health. And then I decided, oh, I can actually make some money out of this. And it's much more exciting for me than doing my current job. I was really passionate about it, still am. And then, you know, saved my way into quitting my job, which was an amazing feeling. And then, yeah, started my business, which is the Freedom Organization. And within that, I have Freedom Nutrition. So that is essentially where I'm up to now.
Wicked. What was Ben Coomber's retreat like?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. And it's funny because the way that I described it to other people, they just thought I was absolutely insane, because it just sounded like I paid all this money to basically go and learn things for the 5 days. But I feel like your listeners will appreciate that, you know, it was a retreat in Marbella, and it was at Mike's gym. So there's all the training and fitness aspects of it as well, and the amazing Assoul course that they've got there, and also then nutrition seminars with Ben. And Simon Herbert was there as well, so he's a great trainer, and so he was doing all the training elements, and it was just so much information, and being in an incredibly inspiring environment with everybody there. And also just if anyone's been to Mike's gym, you'll understand it's just such a great vibe there. Like, it's so chilled, and you can just have so much clarity to think and do whatever you need to do. And also with the fact that, you know, you are into fitness and you can train every minute of the day if you want to, you can go on runs in great locations, and this Assoul course is amazing. And it's just like, no one gives a shit there. Like, no one's judging anybody. Everyone's in the same space. Everyone wants to further themselves in terms of their nutrition and their fitness and their knowledge. So it's just a really great place to go and visit. And obviously Ben's amazing as well. I'm a massive Ben fan, and you know, he's a really, really great guy. So all the information that he was kind of putting out there and learning from him was fantastic. And in addition to that, some of the people that were there had also gone through his academy, and they were, you know, personal trainers or whatever they were. And I had always thought I would really love to do that, but like, do I have time to do that whilst I've got this job, which I'm working, like, you know, pouring my heart and soul into, working 80, 90, 100 hours a week? Just sort of thought I didn't really have the time. But then I was like, no, fuck it, I've got the time, I'll make the time. And I did.
So with Ben Coomber's retreat, was it all about the nutritional side, or did he teach you about setting up the business? And is that how you launched?
No, it was actually nothing to do with the business. It was all just nutrition. So that retreat wasn't sort of a lead up to come and join my academy. That was more like his high end thing. So that was not his end point, but, you know, from a business perspective, that was his high end product. So it wasn't then encouraging you to join the academy or anything. That's just what I wanted to do. So on that retreat, there were people who were like me, just interested in nutrition and a bit of a geek. And then there were people who were PTs. And again, it was just to consume more information. And then, but through that and speaking to them and me already having an interest in it anyway, and potentially wanting to do it, that's when I really decided, yeah, I'm just going to take the plunge and make the time and just do it.
So how did you take everything you'd learned up to that point with nutrition and turn it into a business? How did you get it off the ground? Did you just go for it and figure it out yourself? Did you get mentorship? Did you use friends or people in your life to help you get it off the ground? How did that go?
So yeah, I did have mentors, and I found the mentors through Ben as well, through a group that I'm in. I don't even know which group, but just one of the Facebook groups. And this was Remote Fit Pro. So they're essentially mentors to help you take your business online. And I knew that I did want to have an online business, not because I wanted to travel the world, but just because I didn't want to be geographically static. So I didn't want a premises, let's say. I wanted to be able to do Skype. And I think that, just a bit of a tangent on that, for me, for 4 years, I had worked with people and essentially been a mentor myself in my job, because that was my job. You know, I would hire people, I would train people, I would develop people. And I see that skill as very much alive in what I do now with coaching people. So you know how people say, you know, don't go online before you've done 5,000 face-to-face on the floor PT hours. I already feel like I've done that, but just in a slightly different way. Yeah. So yeah, for me, I got these guys, I actually did one of their free challenges. So that's how I got in with them.
Was that which was a five day?
Yeah, 5 day free challenge. And it was, I was in, still in my job at the time. And the way that they marketed that was really good. So it was like, you know, do you want to earn X amount of money in the next 7 days? And I was just, and I hadn't done anything in terms of my business. It was all just knowledge that I had at this point. And I thought, well, I'll just do this free challenge because it's free. I don't even have a business name. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what service I want to offer, but you know, I may as well just do this free challenge. And in those 5 days, I was more productive from a business perspective in terms of just getting things done than I had been, you know, in the last however many months leading to that point, just because the way that their challenge works is that you have to do a certain task by 11 p.m. that night, otherwise you get kicked out of the challenge. So I had to do it, otherwise I'll get kicked out. And I'm not getting kicked out, you know, that's not going to happen to me. So I'll just get it done, whatever it is. And then this leads to the whole done is better than perfect thing, because, you know, I am definitely a perfectionist and I have fully embraced done is better than perfect, you know, since starting my business, which was definitely not something that I was before. So yeah, like after that with them, I had figured out the service that I wanted to offer, figured out my avatar, figured out, like, you know, she had a name and a personality and all this, like everything was already in my head. But now, because they made me put it on paper, it was then on paper. So I really bought into these guys. I just thought, wow, this has been the most productive 5 days that I've had in months in terms of from a business perspective. So I'm going to kind of roll with that with them. And yeah, then I did more and more with them, and they sort of gave me the systems that I needed to actually put all the creativity that I had in my head into kind of financial planning and strategy planning and system planning and how you're actually going to start a business planning. So that was really instrumental for me. Having a mentor, I think, is essential, because if you don't think that you need a mentor, then your ego is probably driving you more than your business savvy. And I think, just think, you don't know what you don't know, and your mentor does. So be humble and understand, you know, not even to say that you have to go out now and get a mentor, but understand that if you do get a mentor and they are good, they will only accelerate your business. It's not going to be a negative, and they'll open your eyes to things that you don't know that you don't know.
Yeah, totally agree. Like, we touched on this before, that you've got to appreciate that you just don't know everything. Mm. No matter how successful you become, or no matter how many things you achieve in your field, and you can be an expert but still take things from other people. Mm. I think it's quite good as well to like mix outside of your own field.
Yeah.
Because you've obviously brought over things from when you used to work in that industry, right? Mm. Would you call it retail?
Yeah.
So you've brought retail
yeah.
management tactics and yeah. strategies, and you've deployed mm. them in your business now. And I think it's like really healthy, because I did it the other day. I went to meet up with this girl who works in multi-level marketing, and she gave me new insights and new ideas because she sees the world differently.
Mm.
But those same things can be applied to your own business. Mm-hmm. But they're actually more powerful because no one's actually doing them within that type of niche.
Exactly.
So it's like mind-blowing what you can find out from other people. And there is genuinely lots of mentors out there that can save you so much time, yeah. pain, and yeah. effort, right? What were some of the big things that you learned for them that really helped you scale your business? What were some of the key things?
I would say definitely done is better than perfect. That's a big one for me, especially, you know, being a bit of a perfectionist and almost forcing yourself to put time limits on things and then just get it out there. So otherwise you just never will. And especially when you're running your own business, you are the end point. So, you know, you can, if you want to, extend the deadline and extend the deadline, but you almost need to have that self-discipline to not do that. And that's where also, if that is a weakness of yours, then your mentor can help you. So, you know, they'll be aware that that is a weakness of yours, and they'll help you set deadlines and force you. Also, another really, really good thing that George said to me, because they came to Manchester, we spent 3 days together.
Isn't James from Manchester?
James isn't from Manchester, but he went to uni in Manchester.
Ah, right. And then George is like more of a northern lad, isn't he? He's got a proper northern accent.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really great guys. they came to Manchester, and something that George said to me about a morning routine. So I didn't really have a morning routine. I just, you know, went about my day or whatever in the morning. And he said, why should someone else get your time in the morning? That time is for you. So no one else gets my energy before I've got it. And that really resonated with me a lot as well, because, you know, for people who wake up in the morning, and it's a lot of us that then scroll through shit on Instagram, and you just get in, even if it's like 10, 15 minutes, but often it's more like half an hour, then what a waste of your time. And also what a drain of your energy for someone else. So are all your clients getting your energy in the morning? Are you catching up on emails? Are you checking messages on Instagram? Are you feeling bad about yourself because you're seeing how well everyone's doing? Like, which is probably all bullshit anyway, because that's what social media is. But anyway, that's another point. So who is getting that energy? If it's not you, then change that. So that was something that I really took from George very much.
So that was a morning routine. Yeah. I'm big on morning routines, because you mentioned something there, which we spoke about on the podcast before numerous times and numerous people, because it affects everyone on the planet, right? The phone.
Yeah.
Like pulling out the phone, it's deadly. It's like, it just sucks energy out of you. And the morning thing, when you wake up and you open it, and like you said, you go on Instagram, you can be lost for 15, 30 minutes. But what happens is you then start relying on the images, the notifications, the likes as a dopamine hit for the rest of the day.
Because
that's how you started. It's almost like a drug, isn't it? So then you're always going back into it to try and get that stimulation.
Yeah.
But what I found is when it's not actually there and you're going in to feel better, you actually come away feeling worse, because what you went to find, because you're going so often, is not there. Because it's empty.
Yeah.
And what you do find is stuff that's way beyond where you are. And then you compare yourself to everyone's really small view of their lives, right? The highlight reel.
Yeah.
And a lot of people mention this, because I think what's going to happen now is there's going to be a lot of applications that come out to help you focus. That'll be the next big thing, because everyone struggles with focus.
Yeah.
I've got it on Facebook. I've got a Facebook feed blocker.
Same.
On my desktop,
News
right?
Feed eradicator.
Yeah, because like if you go on Facebook, you can get buried in just like stuff after stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I just lost 20 minutes of my life. And the most deadly time to do it, like you said, is in the morning, because that's when you've got the most brain points to then tackle those big tasks.
And like you say, that's then setting up your day. So it's like start your day as you mean to go on. And another thing that I feel like fitness professionals definitely do is, and I did this at the start, it's like, oh no, but I need to do this because it's for my business, it's for my content, it's for my marketing. Well, no, it isn't. Like, come on, stop lying to yourself. You're doing it because you're lost in social media. Like, you can throw out some content and go off it. Like, you don't have to then scroll. That's not for your business. It's for your ego.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like, with social, going back to the phone thing, I don't go on social before 10 to 11 o'clock now, because I reserve that time in the morning to tackle my big tasks, the tough ones, right? The stuff that require the energy that I don't really want to do.
Yeah.
Maybe writing a big proposal or building an email campaign, which we'll touch on in a second. But you might as well reserve the easy shit, like social, till you're lying on the couch later on anyway.
100%.
Because it's easy and it's actually enjoyable. So you might as well preserve it. But everyone's trying to do the easy shit first.
Yeah.
Because it's easy. No one wants to do the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone wants instant gratification. And that's so narrow-minded, because that's not even a day's worth of work. It's like a 10 minutes worth of work. You're just trying to box everything off really quickly.
Yeah.
And then that changes your tolerance level to delayed gratification.
Yeah.
Because then it makes it even harder to do even bigger tasks.
It does.
It's
vicious. And that's the thing as well, that you've got to think about time. So I had an amazing lady on my podcast the other day called Tracy, and she's a four-way amputee. And she literally came out with the most amazing gems of wisdom. But one of the things that she was saying was, you know, you've only got 1:09 a.m. every day. So who's going to get it? And that really resonated with me as well, because there is only 1:09 a.m. So if your clients also only have 1:09 a.m., if your prospective clients also have 1:09 a.m., what the fuck are you doing at 9, 10, 11, 12, 1 when people are awake and able to be contacted, being on hiding behind your social media? You need to do that 6 a.m. when no one's awake, or 5 a.m. You need to do that 10 p.m. In those key hours of the day when other people are awake, speak to other people. So otherwise you're just going to waste time. You're not going to speak to people. You're not going to get clients.
Yeah, that's powerful. You were at an event that I was at probably about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Gary V, right? where we got pitched for 2 days on all kinds of info products. And then Gary Vee turned up for like 10 minutes at the end. But after the back of that event, you signed up to do something. Tell me about that, because that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So at that event, which was the first event of its kind that I'd been to, so that was very new for me, I bought a program for JT Fox. And with that program, there was, you got lifetime access to all his events in the, well, I was going to say in the UK, but I think anywhere in the world, any of his 2 day events that I can have access to go to. And he's a business coach, essentially, and he's very inspiring. He's very masculine energy, intense, powerful, which I love all of that. So I just bought into him straight away. And I'm laughing because the people that I was with, I didn't even want to tell them that I was going to go and buy it. But I was like, I know I'm going to go and buy this. Like, literally, I'm on the way there to go and buy it. And I didn't even tell them. I just got up and I walked off and went to buy it because I knew that they would take the piss out of me.
Do you know what? I went up, you know, because I remember he said, I'm only going to take on 35 people, hook, line and sink. I was like, for his mentorship, I was like, fuck, that sounds good. Yeah. And I like what this guy's saying. He's the number one wealth coach in the world. I want to be wealthy. So I went to the back of the room. I was like, come on, I should have known that when you get there, there's going to be an application form. You have to fill it out. And then there's a fat fee you've got to pay.
Yeah.
But you went for it.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then they also said, with that, you got a trip to LA. And I was like, I'm not going to go to LA, but I want all the other stuff, like the 2 day events, so whatever. And then anyway, obviously I ended up going to LA. And then when I was in LA, I met this lady who I'm now starting another arm of my freedom business, Freedom Retreats. And kind of one thing led to another. So we went to LA, then went to Florida together for 3 days to JT's house and had coaching there, which was incredible. Then we went to Bali in Australia. And I am now organizing retreats with her in Bali. So we've got our first retreat in May this year. And just literally one thing's led to another, to another, to another. We've met some really great contacts along the way who have helped us kind of set it up and do all the logistics and all the boring stuff like insurance and everything like that. And we can just do the fun stuff, which is create the content and, you know, or run the retreat there. So buying that program there and then definitely changed my business for the better and 100% worth the investment a million times over.
It sounds like it changed your mindset as well, because I know we touched on this before, because your bigger plan was obviously to set up these retreats, but maybe like 12 months, 2 years down the line.
Mm.
But then you've condensed that into, fuck it, let's go and do it in the next 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, how did that mental shift come about? And like, how do you look at things differently now?
So I think that being around all these kind of business development, personal development scenarios, it's just opened my eyes to a much bigger, much bigger mindset, I would say. That's how I would describe it. A mindset of less restrictions and less personal limitations. Because if I want to do something like retreats, why don't I just do it? Why, unless there's a physical limitation or a financial limitation. I mean, I'm not even going to say financial, because if you want to, you can get investment. But if there is some real, real limitation that, you know, time or something like that, that, you know, you really have to, that is real, then fine. I'm not saying there's no limitations on anything, but when it's just the limitations of you thinking that you can't do it yet, well, that isn't a real limitation. You shouldn't have that. And that's what I've really realized. And, you know, I am a confident person in myself. Like, I'm confident in my own abilities. And so it doesn't take me too much to kind of park the idea of, oh, maybe I can't do that, because it's fleeting for me anyway. But being around people who really also have that attitude and just more of a mindset of, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep reaching, keep striving, keep your ambition flowing and at that really high level, keep the momentum. It does, it helps you do that. And, you know, being at this event, it was a 6 day event in LA. Like, that is a long time to be around other people, other entrepreneurs, having talks. I literally, you'd get there at like 7 a.m. and you would leave at midnight, and then I would get up, train, start again. Like, I was getting like 3 hours sleep, but I just was running on adrenaline and coffee. And I think, you know, everyone always says, like, you are the sum of the five people you spend your time with. But imagine that just magnified times 1,000 and meeting all these people and being inspired. And you need to be around that if you're going to be running your own business. And for me, it's just, yeah, it's really exciting, and it fires me up, you know, and I want more of that. Like, I want to spend more time with those kind of people so that I'm keeping that momentum. Mm. So I guess, yeah, going back to your question that I've like fluffed around quite a lot, the mindset shift for me has just been more really assess, is it a limitation or is it an excuse? Because if it's an excuse, just stop it and find a way that you can get around it and do what you actually want to do.
Mm. I want to ask you about your podcast.
Okay.
I kind of want to know how that came about, because often you get influenced by people to do certain things, right? Because
yeah.
I was influenced to set up mine at that event. I think I mentioned this to you before, but the guys that I was sat with, who I'm good friends with, have a big recruitment podcast, and they were talking about how great it's been for their awareness and their products and stuff like that. And they were like, you should set one up. And I was like, well, what am I going to talk about? And they were like, well, do one for personal trainers, do one for coaches. And I was like, oh yeah, makes sense. But like, when you don't know anything about it, you're like, should I do it? Should I not? And I've been encouraging other people to do it, right, in different industries, because I've seen so much benefit off it. It's great to like put out content. It's quite easy to do. You can connect with all these people. But what made you start your podcast, Positively Selfish?
So I always loved listening to podcasts, and I probably did it from I'm not going to say selfish perspective, but from a self-interested, for my own self-interest, that I liked podcasts. So it was like natural progression, I will do a podcast. So that was, again, it was another thing that was just on my agenda. It was something that I wanted to do at some point. And when James and George came to spend a few days with me, they were like, well, right, we're doing it now. James was like, we're going to start it in next week or something, or in 2 weeks. I was like, James, I don't have any guests. I don't have a microphone. I don't have this. I don't have that. Da, 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 all these limitations. And he was like, okay, give me your Amazon account. I signed him into my Amazon. He bought me the microphone and everything that I needed. It arrived the next day. He helped me get in touch with a few guests. And then it was going. So it was something that I wanted to do. And like I said before, the whole start of my introduction into this industry was through listening to Ben's podcast, which I found incredibly inspiring. And I wanted to then inspire other people in a similar manner. But I think that you have to enjoy speaking to people. You have to be inspired by it, because, you know, no one's going to want to listen to a podcast where the host isn't even that bothered about the guest. I think that that's really, really important. And also, some people aren't that kind of talky people, so I don't think podcasts are necessarily right for them either. But yeah, I always wanted to do it. But again, I probably wouldn't have done it anytime soon. It just would have been another thing that was like on my list. And then when I was talking to James as well, when he was here, we were talking about what to call it. And I kept saying the phrase Positively Selfish. I was like, I really want to encourage my clients to be a bit more positively selfish and have more time for themselves. And, you know, because at the time, my intended audience was really people like me who were in very busy jobs, and all their energy, time, and often money would go into other people, you know, family, friends, etc., and they would never have any time for themselves. And I kept saying Positively Selfish. She was like, why do you call your podcast Positively Selfish? It's a great hashtag. Why do you go with that? And I was just like, oh yeah, that's a really good idea. So again, going back to the mentorship aspect, even though that was my phrase and I kept saying it, I wouldn't have connected, oh, maybe I should call my podcast that. It came from an outsider. So again, it's like helping you get out of yourself. That's what mentors are great for. So that's kind of how it all started, and it's been going ever since and going really, really well. And I love doing it.
It's very enjoyable, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you like talking and learning, like, it's a great platform to have, because you can literally just interview all the people that you want to interview within reason, and you can learn loads along the way, but then you're also providing loads of value to other people. So it's just like, I just find it a great form of content. And for us sitting here right now, it's very easy for us to do.
Yeah.
Other than the recording that we did last time, it didn't come out very well.
But it's a shame, it was good. It's going to be a part two.
If you get your settings right, yeah, then it's like quite easy to do. And I would encourage anyone to think about doing something like this, because it's not particularly hard. You've just got to have the balls to do it and then go out there and get the first few guests and then off you go. So we were talking about a couple of strategies before we started. Obviously Facebook Lives, Instagram Lives, and how you get the reach with them. And we touched on email marketing a little bit, but maybe talk about some of those strategies that have been really good for you.
Yeah, so Facebook Live is definitely really, really powerful. And I think that if you can just shed the insecurities of going live for that first time, then you get much more used to it as you keep doing them. They become much more natural and people want to see that. You know, I feel like we're in a in an age where we've kind of gone past the I need to put bunny ear filters on because I've got spots today, or do you know what I mean? I think that no one really cares if you look like shit. They actually prefer it.
I think they do.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a receding hairline and that would have bothered me, but fuck it. Like, so is thousands and millions of other people, and they can relate to it, right?
Exactly.
If you're too polished or you look too good, someone said it to me the other day, don't make all the lighting perfect. Don't say everything perfect and polished, because that's not human.
Exactly.
Be yourself, be natural, and people will like you for that, right? And has that been important for you?
Yeah, and get to know you. And I remember once, I mean, I said this to you the other day, but the first live that I did, it took me 45 minutes to go live for 1 minute or something. And I definitely would have done my hair and done my makeup and like made sure the lighting was right and shit myself a few times. I mean, not literally, but got really scared before I went live. And obviously nothing happened. And you put this on one of your Instagram stories the other day. I think you put like, what's going to happen? And one of the options was like, fuck all. And the other option was like, everyone's going to die or something like that.
Yeah, everyone hit fuck off.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that's nothing's going to happen.
Nothing like, is going to happen.
What's going to happen? Someone might message you and be like, you look like a bit of an idiot there. Yeah, I mean, they won't, like, but
no, if you've got loads of followers, maybe they will, but they obviously live a very low quality life. And the same, I literally walked out of the shop out of Costa because I'd just been in a meeting with this girl. She was like, you need to do Facebook Lives, you need to do Instagram Lives. She was like, let me know when you do your first one. I walked out the coffee shop, bang, live, down the street, and just did it because I was like, I'm going to do it. I might as well just do it now and see what it's like. And actually, it felt fucking amazing. Because like I said to you before we started, it's very natural and it's very true and it's very honest. And that's what everyone wants to be.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be.
And then something else as well is that, you know, there's a lot of competition in whatever industry you're in, especially if you're in a service industry, which we are. And the only USP that you can really have, maybe not for you in your industry, but definitely for me, for my industry, because I believe that, you know, I'm not offering some magic diet or magic food plan or exercise plan or mindset coaching. It's not magic, it's science. And you know, sprinkled with me, and I am the USP. So if people don't know me, then they're not going to like me and they're not going to buy from me. So for coaches, you are your USP. You know that you can give someone the exact same training plan in your gym as somebody else and the client's going to get results, but it's about you. So you need to get that across. And that's really important when you're doing the Facebook Lives and the Instagram Lives and just being honest. Like I said to you before, I did one and I was sitting on the floor in my apartment because I had to use the wire from my internet because my Wi-Fi shit.
Yeah.
So like, but nobody cares. And it's, I think that's a key for your Facebook Live, your Instagram Live, and you'll get there as you do them more. And then in terms of other marketing strategies, so email is something that I've recently sort of taken on as a bit of an experiment, because there's so many things that I've seen where people are banging on about emails. And I always just think email's dead. Like, email's old now. No one reads emails, even though I actually do read some emails.
So do I.
Yeah.
Some particular people, yeah. I open them because they're actually quite interesting.
Exactly. So why would we then think that email's dead? Because we actually do read emails. So I thought, right, I'm going to resurrect some emails, knock a few emails up. And also some emails that I really like are James Smith. So
are they daily?
Yeah, okay. They are at the moment.
They, I think they must that's be short.
Because they are very short. I think they're only daily at the moment because he's in the initial phases of his JSA Academy, James Smith Academy. Mm. So it's like hammering it. And so I really like him, and his emails are really funny. So I just read them. But seeing his emails every day, I thought, right, I'm going to do that too. And I'm launching an online program that's starting next week. And I've already had, from doing 3 days emails, I've had 10 signups just through the emails. Yeah.
What'd you put in your emails?
Well, I've just made them really short, and I've stripped everything out. So I used to put like gifts, and I mean gif, not gifts, just for the listener's purpose, as in, you know, funny moving things.
Yeah.
Or pictures, and make them all fancy with colours. Now it's literally a white background and just maybe like a couple of paragraphs of a message, whatever that might be. So the other day I actually gave a free extract of my book in an email. That was one of the things, just like, here's a freebie. And then today I've just put about, I put something about accountability, and then this is what you get on my program. So obviously relating it to a call to action, relating it to my products.
Is there a strong call to action in each one to get them to take action? Or is it subtle? Like, this is from my, well, if you want to find out more, it's not like sign up here.
No, at the moment it's like sign up here.
Oh, so it's strong.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm doing, from the beginning of the month and up until the 14th, it's an offer price. So
okay, it's just an incentive to sign up now.
Yeah, and that's why I'm also doing them every day now, because I'm mimicking what they're doing. And that's the other thing, like, come on, there's all these successful people.
Oh, we're talking sign about James
up,
Smith.
Yeah, yeah, sign up to their emailers so you can figure out what they're doing. Buy their program if you want, so you can see, have some inspiration or some help for what you're doing. You know, people don't need to always feel like they have to do everything on their own, and they can't take advice from people who are doing it successfully. And, you know, even back to what you were saying before about looking at other industries, like if you're positioning yourself as a very high level premium service, go and look at what Rolex is doing or what Bentley's doing with their marketing and copy it. You know, copy it for your industry. It doesn't have to be so specific to fitness, like, look outside the box.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, email's been really good for me, and it's been a really cool experiment that has definitely paid off. So I'm going to carry on using it, not every day after my launch has finished, but I will definitely carry on using it because I think it's great.
So what's the window now? So if someone joins your email list,
yeah,
how many emails do they get smashed with?
None. I don't even have that set up.
Oh, so it's not automated?
No, it is. Sorry. At the moment it is for the daily emails before my program. But then, well, I don't even know, because I'll probably do one a week.
Yeah, got you.
And then, but it's not, the call to actions will just be soft. Then there'll be like social media and my podcast and things like that.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I touched on before my book. So my book it went on sale for 99p when I first launched. Then it was £17.50. And then, as in, that's the normal price. And then eventually I'm going to have it as on a landing page, essentially for free, as a almost like a lead magnet of, if you give me email address, you get my book for free. So that's where that's going.
Boom.
Yeah.
So with the book, it's called How to Not Go Crazy on the Daily.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Got that right?
Very
Should
good.
Know it by now. How did that come about? How do you decide to write a book amongst the podcast and all the retreats and everything you've got going on? People are thinking, how the hell is she doing all this stuff? How do you start writing a book? Where does it begin?
Well, for me, it was when I was going to LA, and I was like, I'm going to be flying for a really long time here. I don't want to waste any time. I'm very big on that, using all my time. It's very precious. So I'd started writing it on the plane to LA. And then I ended up going to Florida. So again, had a bit more time. And then actually my flight got cancelled from Florida to home. So it essentially took me 40 hours to get home when I was coming back to Manchester. So in all that time, I pretty much wrote the whole book. And then I probably spent like 5 hours on it to kind of tidy it up when I got home. So it was just, what am I going to do to make the most of this time on the flights? I'm going to write a book. And then I knew the kind of rough structure that I wanted, because, you know, with everything that I do, it all fits in with the vibe of freedom, no restriction, and not wasting any time. So it's bite size. So every day the reader will read like 2 to 3 minutes of the 2 to 3 minutes worth of the book. So each little chapter is like a bite sized 2 to 3 minute chunk. And it's in five different categories. So basically once they've read the book, then they're, you know, in a place where they can shed all the noise. And that's what I call going crazy on the daily, because I feel like that's what I definitely used to do, just go crazy with all the bullshit that was all around and not being able to focus. So I knew that that's what I wanted the book to kind of flow along those lines, and then wrote all the different bite-sized chunks and then kind of ordered it in the right way and then self-published it on Amazon.
Amazing.
That was it.
Sounds easy.
Well, no, do you know what? It was easy in the sense of I enjoy writing content. So I definitely would not recommend it to someone who struggles to write an Instagram post and has to sit there on a Sunday night thinking, shit, what am I going to say for the next 7 days? Whereas for me, I love doing that. And, you know, I enjoy it and I like to put stuff together like that. So for me, it was an enjoyable experience. And that's why I guess it didn't take me so long as well.
Yeah. What I wanted to ask you was, like, can you see like a direct ROI from the book? So from creating the book, do you see like the leads coming in off the back of it? Do you see growth in your business? Can you see a direct ROI, or is it kind of like indirect and it's more like a leverage tool or credibility tool?
Well, when you say ROI, you obviously don't mean cost of the book.
No, because you're selling it for 99p, right? So obviously you're not going to make any money off the back of that, because publishing it, it's probably going to eat all that money anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the lifetime value of the customer that comes off the back of the book.
So being completely honest, I haven't really been able to yet because it's only been live for like 3 weeks.
Got you.
So no, but on the last page or the last chapter of the book, it's essentially giving people all of the info to kind of get a free consultation with me. I think off the top of my head, it essentially says, now you've read the book, as a like thank you to that, you can get a free consultation. So email this address and book your free consultation in. So that is the plan from that. But also the reason why I wanted to do it originally was just for a credibility piece, if you like, so I could call myself an author, because, you know, I do put a lot of effort into my content when I'm writing and I want to be able to say I'm an author, just as people want to say they're a speaker or whatever it might be. So, you know, we all want to be experts in our field. Well, how can you be an expert if you haven't even got a book? I mean, that is kind of half a joke, but do you know what I mean? It's like you want to be able to add credibility. So that was more the goal for me. ROI wise, I'll have to get back to you on that as it's been there for a bit longer. But I also think that together with the podcast is a much better way of being in people's heads and capturing people's attention for longer than, let's say, an Instagram post or a Facebook post or even a live. Because if you do a Facebook live, then yes, I think that reach is fantastic and it's shareability and, you know, all that is invaluable and it's free marketing, so amazing. But when you've got a podcast, it's an hour. Or, you know, when you've got a book, people are so focused and they can like hear your voice. And, you know, with my clients, for example, I've got a closed group with my clients. I know you have as well. And I do a live video in there every day. I only speak to them. Yeah, I do. I only speak to them once a week, but they hear me every day. And they all tune in and they all comment and they love it. And they see me at my absolute most raw. So I am in their heads every single day. And that's what you need to be in this day and age, not sounding like an old woman, but we have so many people trying to get our attention, whether it's in real life or whether it's on Instagram or Facebook. And if you can be in someone's head for an hour, that is pretty powerful. If someone can pay attention to your book for even 5 minutes in their day, that is powerful. So that would be my message. Just how long can you be in people's heads for? Because that is going to translate to sales.
I'm fascinated by the fact that obviously all those things you said are awesome, but then you said about being in the Facebook group every single day, right? You're showing up, you're talking. What happens in those lives? What do you say? What do you talk about?
So I've got a hashtag called Free to Be Me. And basically, I started that because I actually said to my clients, that I didn't do a live every day at the start. And I said to them at one point, like, I feel like I have to show up for you in the best way and put my makeup on and do my hair. And I'm not like that. So I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to be free to be me. So every day I'm going to do a free to be me, and it's going to be information, a bit of information of what I'm doing today, what's going on in my life, but also content for you. So it will literally be me, like, coming out of the gym looking like shit, or, you know, literally free to be me, like, wait, I've just woken up, hi. And because I've got clients all over the world, there's always someone on, but it doesn't matter what time it is because they're all in different time zones. So just as an example, today I spoke to them about, because quite a few of them are on holiday, so I spoke to them about nutrition when you're on holiday. And sometimes you've got to do this, sometimes you've got to do this, sometimes you just got to be like, fuck it, I'm on holiday, let's enjoy. And that was just the piece for today. And they're only like 5 minutes long max, but they all engage with it and they speak to each other. And, you know, if you've got a Facebook group and you're in there every day, then it just, again, it pulls your clients to you every day. So they are motivated by that and they are engaged with that. And they know it's almost like more accountability for them because you're with them every day. It's like, I don't know, a call from your PT every day. Like, are you exercising? Make sure you're exercising. So they like that. But then also from a business perspective, for me, I'm in their heads every day. So that's where it's about, just, you can't be insecure about whatever you're putting out there because you've committed to being there every day. So you have to be. And that is better for business, in my opinion.
Yeah. Love that. Love that a lot. You give a lot to your clients. But you're saying it doesn't require a lot, right? Because you're not prepping, you're not getting ready, you're just showing up.
Mm.
And the value and the content is still going to be the same no matter how you look.
Exactly.
And this is going back to the point, obviously I made this on social media last night, we talked about it in the podcast, is to not really give a fuck what people think, because you've got to be your true self, and the truer you are to yourself, the more people that will want to buy into you and listen to you because you're being genuine and honest.
Mm.
What would you say, because we're going to kind of wrap things up, but what would you kind of say is the number one strategy, or a very good strategy, for any coach or personal trainer going into this year, trying to grow their business? Maybe it's offline, maybe it's online. Obviously, you've got expertise in the online market. What would you say is a good strategy, or something that someone should be utilizing? If they're not, they're missing out.
Being in people's brains as much as you possibly can. And that, whether you're online or offline, that almost needs to be online, because where are people? They are online. Get them where they are. And, you know, I often see this when I'm, it always makes me think it when I'm on the tube in London, because there's all these adverts on the tube that people have paid for a lot of money. And what is everyone doing? They've got their head stuck in their phone. So everyone's head is stuck in their phone. So be on their phone, be in a podcast, be in an ebook, be on Facebook, be on Instagram, and then get them out of it, fine, to do your business, whether it's online or offline. But you have to go and fish for the fish where they are. You can't go and fish for the fish in the desert. So that would be my tip. Go and get people where they are and bring them to you.
Yeah, I love it. Couldn't agree more. Do you think offline personal training is going to kind of tail off? Do you think it will maintain itself over the next couple of years and more people go online? Do you see a shift?
Mm.
Or do you think there'll always be that offline element? Because someone asked me this today.
Mm.
They were like, oh, I'm not sure if offline personal training is still going to exist in 5 years.
But I think it's really interesting, because it's definitely been, I was speaking to someone about this the other day when they were talking about, you know, potentially leaving their job and what should they do. And I was saying, when you start a business, you need two things. You need it to be recession proof and you need it to be scalable, so you can essentially sell it to everyone in the world and it doesn't take any more of your time. I think maybe 10, 15 years ago, PTing wasn't that, because it was an absolute luxury that we normal people just didn't have. Now, everyone's got a PT, or a lot of people have got a PT. It's not seen as a luxury anymore. It's seen as I need to get in shape, I need a PT. I don't think that offline is ever going to disappear because of that human element and the accountability element. And, you know, even to the fact that someone can spot you, You know, that's important, and show you what you're doing, show you how to do your form. That's difficult when you're online. But I think that as people are more almost entrepreneurial, having freedom businesses, living the life of freedom, etc., those people will be drawn towards more online because they can access their PT from anywhere. So I think that offline's going to grow. I'm sorry, online's going to grow, but I don't think offline's going to die.
Hmm. Yeah, good point to finish on. So where can people find out more about all this exciting stuff that you've got? The podcast, Freedom Nutrition.
Yeah, so look for me on Instagram, which is It's Robin Lee, ItsRobinLee. Facebook, Freedom Nutrition, and the podcast is Positively Selfish, which you can find on iTunes and Spotify, etc. And if anyone has any guest recommendations or would like to be on my podcast and you are an inspiring person, then I'm all ears for that as well.
Nice. Awesome. And Stitcher as well. Use Stitcher.
Yes, Stitcher.
I don't think I'm on Stitcher.
And CastBox.
What the hell is Stitcher and CastBox? I mean, should I know this because I'm a podcast
host? You're a podcast host. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you keep saying, find me on Stitcher, here on your intro.
I just put it on all of them because it's one of the ones that I'm on, but people really only just use iTunes and Spotify.
Is it an American thing, Stitcher?
I don't know. Not sure, actually.
Anyone knows anything about Stitcher, message us urgently.
Message the two very knowledgeable podcast hosts. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
Thank
this.
You.
This is awesome.
Yeah, really good.
Hopefully this recording is better than the last one.
See you
one.
On take three.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into the show. I hope you enjoyed it, guys. If you did, head over to your favorite app and leave us a short review. I'd really appreciate that. And if you wanted to learn more about our products and services, head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted an awesome website built for your coaching business, head over to our partner company, savectormedia.com. That's all from me. See you soon.